Radio takes you harness and greyhound racing right around New South Wales.
At every Menangle and Wentworth Park meeting, there's the Tab Late Mail service. And across the state, you get trackside updates prior to every race.
Giving you everything you need. This is your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
An enormous jackpot has landed. This Saturday, there's a $100,000 first four jackpot on the last race at Rosehill Gardens. The last race jumps at $425. Plus, this Sunday, there's a $25,000 Big Six jackpot on the Saddle Up Sunday meeting at Coonamble. So get your mates together and have a crack at your local Tab. Tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
Jack is back. If you've been missing Jack Petley's tips, you don't have to any longer. Jack's back with a full daily wrap of New Zealand thoroughbred racing, including all the hot news, daily tips and specials on his very own website. And it's free. Just Google Jack Petley's tips and you won't miss a thing.
Punters, it's nearly June 30. Bonus time in the big city. Have a fixed odds win bet on any Sydney Thoroughbred Metro race this Saturday with your Tab account or Tab Rewards card. And if your horse runs second or third, we'll replace your stake with a bonus bet up to $50 or equivalent Tab Rewards points. That's right, a bonus bet up to $50 or equivalent Tab Rewards points if your horse runs second or third. Only at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. T's and C's apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Feel sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
A minute past 10, and Sean Cosgrove with Trent Langscale from Tab.com today. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning to you, Cosy.
We've got plenty happening today, haven't we?
There's plenty going on at the moment. We'll speak to Adam Fryer shortly, who's our rugby expert. We hear him on Sky Sports Radio, the boys TK and Slats, usually on the Big Sports Breakfast, and we see him each Friday on the Punting Club, giving out his tips and trying to reel in Andrew Martin with the tips there on the show, because we've got the Super Rugby semi-finals this weekend. Well, they're both on Saturday night. You've got the Hurricanes against the Brumbies. That's the early one, 5:30 our time on Saturday from Westpac Stadium. And then you've got the Waratahs up against the Highlanders, and that's pretty much straight after the first one. It's about 7:50 on Saturday night from Allianz Stadium. So you've got the two sides from Australia and the two sides from New Zealand going at it, and hopefully, Cozzy, for most of the listeners at the moment, we'll have an all-Australian final for the Super Rugby next week.
Well, yeah, we're out in the valley this weekend in Wellington at Westpac Stadium, the Hurricanes versus the Brumbies, I think, and Adam's with us now. Morning, Adam.
Morning, guys. How are you, Sean? How are you, Trent?
We're fighting fit now. Trent's hoping for an all-Aussie final. Realistically, is that a proposition?
Oh, look, anything's a possibility in Super Rugby this year. As I say, I don't think I've ever been associated with a tournament where there's been so many upsets. And, look, it wouldn't surprise me. Look, one result which I'm nervous about are the Highlanders and the Waratahs. Now, the Waratahs travelled over to New Zealand to play the Highlanders, and they got absolutely smacked. And this is a very good side, this Highlanders team, especially with the form of Aaron Smith, their half. They're riddled with All Blacks with the current selection that's just gone through. And the Waratahs, look, Curtly Beal for mine, I know he's a bit of a question mark whether he does play, but he's a player that brings the best out of players like Israel Folau. He takes away a little bit of responsibility of someone like Bernard Foley. And you saw there last week, when they played against the Reds, it took them a while to get into that match without him there. Now, if they start slow against the Highlanders, that'll put an enormous amount of pressure on them. And look, I'm not going to say that the Waratahs won't win, but I'm just saying that is a game I'm very worried about.
What was it last time, 26-19?
Yeah, they just got the bonus point in the end.
Yeah.
So, look, and as I say, look, with this Highlanders team, they've been the sort of the underdog all year. And I think I remember saying on the Punting Club, I think they were almost around about $9 coming into the finals race. Gee, great value. But if they can beat the Waratahs, they're a side that can easily go on and win the competition. Now, I still think, and I've said this from day one, the Waratahs are the team to beat. And look, this is just the one hurdle they need to get over. But who knows? If they win this match, the Brumbies can perform a miracle over there at the Cape Tin. Brumbies, Waratahs, ANZ Stadium, Super Rugby final record is certainly on the cards.
That would be beautiful to see, and after how we saw the final last year, it was an absolute beauty between the Waratahs and the Crusaders, and the Waratahs finally broke through, Adam, last season by the point. Just before we start previewing the semi-finals, you touched on how unpredictable it's been this season. We're down to the last four, and it has been that bizarre season because you've got the perennial powers like the Crusaders, Blues, the Bulls, and recently the Chiefs. They're not featuring this weekend. You've got this new crop that's come up in this season.
Yeah, exactly right. And the teams that don't make it, you see the ramifications of that. The Blues don't make it, they lose their coach. The Bulls don't make it, they lose their coach. And who would ever want to be a coach? They're always miserable and losing their jobs. But, look, I just think this year it is the changing of the guard. You saw the Lions step up, and I think they were just shy of being the number one South African team. Who would have thought that? And the Highlanders, who last year under-delivered, and this year they've just strung some wins together. And the only time they haven't won matches, and don't look at the form guide with Otago, they have to rest All Blacks. So the matches they went down to by sort of 20 or 30 points, I'm missing Ben Smith, Aaron Smith, two of their star All Black back rowers. So you're always going to struggle, but they've got everyone back this week. They're coming to Sydney. The markets are certainly suggesting that the Highlanders are well outsiders, but look, I just think I'm not saying they're going to get the win, but I do think that the value is there.
Okay, well, while we're talking about it, we'll start with that one. Is the second of the semi-finals with the Waratahs up against the Highlanders. As I said, just after 7:50 on Saturday night from Allianz Stadium, the Waratahs, as we've spoken about, they're looking to go back-to-back after what has been an up-and-down season for them, but they've managed to finish second, and the Highlanders, they were impressive, knocking over the Chiefs 24 points to 14 at Forsyth Barr Stadium in Dunedin last week.
Yeah, and you say that the Waratahs have been a little bit or sort of up and down this year. I don't think it's that. I just think teams have gone to another level when they've come up against them. Last year, the Waratahs weren't the champions, so you go against the Waratahs and you have a different mindset. This year, you know that you're out there to beat the champ. Every time they front it up and took on the opposition, they know they're up for a big game because everyone wants to knock off the 2014 champion. And that's been resonating throughout their messaging this week, is that they're saying is they are a little bit bruised and battered. The week did them the world, but they're actually claiming they shouldn't be favourites for this match, which is classic Michael Checker coaching there. But I just think this match here, I've said it just before, I think the Highlanders present the better value. Do I think the Waratahs will win? Likely to. Curly Bill not being there certainly will make a difference, and we're not confirmed whether or not he is actually part of that team. I know he's very close to, but we still don't know yet. I really think that this is a game where if you wanted to take that line with the Highlanders, it'd be a wise one.
Well, we'll talk about the odds now. We've got the Waratahs at $1.45 and the Highlanders at $2.75. In line betting, the Waratahs are giving away a 5.5-point start. And in the margin betting at the end of normal time, you've got the Waratahs by 1 to 12 at $2.55, by 13 plus at $3. The Highlanders 1 to 12 at $3.60. 13 plus at $8.50 and draw at the end of normal time at $23. So just by what you're saying, Adam, you'd believe the Waratahs would win, but you think the 275 is just a touch too much for the Highlanders in the clash?
Well, I think it's great, Dale. That's all I'm saying is that if I was going for results on this one, you know, the 1 to 12 either way is smart betting, but look, I just always like this type of game, having that 5.5 start buffer isn't such a bad line. I'd probably like a little bit more line. 5.5 is probably a little bit generous towards the Tars, but it doesn't seem like I'm giving any mail here. I do think the Waratahs will win, but it's going to be a tight one, and you make the call whether or not you want to take that 1 to 12 or that little head start from the Highlanders. They have been the form New Zealand team, and any form New Zealand team coming into a finals race, you know, and they actually finished on top of the Waratahs this year on the table because of the conference system and how it works. So on paper, track record, they're a better side. Yeah, they're coming to Sydney and then the outsiders. But look, for mine, the Waratahs, if Curtly Beale gets back on that field, that'll make a huge difference because everyone who played in and around him becomes a better player.
And I guess it helps as well in regards to what you've with the All Blacks that are in the Highlanders team, because apart from last year, they hadn't made the finals in Super Rugby since 2002, if you discount last year, and the Waratahs now feel they're accustomed to the stage after winning the final last year over the Crusaders.
Yeah, and exactly right. And don't rule out, this could be Michael Checker's last game as coach of the Waratahs. He's given them so much, and they all call him the father figure, and they were almost scared to talk about how much they would play for and play alongside this team, which he's put together. Jackpot Keita's last game. Like, there's still a lot of incentive and motive there, but as you said there, and rightly so, Trent, it is a very, very good Highlanders outfit.
Okay, well, we'll start with the first of the semi-finals, which will be 5:30 our time over at Westpac Stadium in Wellington. You've got the Hurricanes up against the Brumbies. First time since 2009 that the Hurricanes have been in the finals, so even though they finished on top, just a little bit of a gap there between appearances. And the Brumbies, they were really impressive last week in their 39-19 victory over the Stormers in Cape Town.
Yeah, they were impressive, but the Stormers certainly weren't going into that match. Look, I tipped the Brumbies. I thought they were great value last week. Stormers this year have been very disappointing. All South African teams have been very disappointing. And you look, Joe Tamani, hat-trick of tries. There was all this talk about the rowing more and whether they'll do it legally or illegally, and they'd hardly went to it. David Pocock really put his claim forward to be the starting number seven. So everything's working well for the Brums. However, unfortunately, Henry Spate has been ruled out of this match, and pretty much for the first test match as well. Huge loss. Henry Spate gets them over the advantage line. But Tamani has really stepped up. You've got Kurandrani and Tamani. They're two strike powers, but they just probably lose one of their three. And look, the other person that I thought may be a big loss for them has been Sam Carter, but they seem to be going okay in their set piece. And that's what I really think it boils down to. The Brumbies will rely upon their set piece, their scrum and line out. They've done that all year. If they can get that platform right, and we know by Stephen Moore and the way he plays his line out, he looks for that tail and middle option. If they've got front football, if they can win that line out between the tail and the middle, you get players like Matt Tamua up on the advantage line, Leo Leofano getting over that ad line. It just makes such a difference for the way they play. They haven't changed the style of the way they play since they won it back in the day of 2005 and also in 2000 when they had the likes of Greg and Larkin, who's coaching him now. But they've definitely got the strike power, and this is a match which has got upset written all over it. And now the Hurricanes finished on top of the table. They did have that bit of a form slump, and they have had the week off, but the only thing is that the Brumbies are almost limping across the line. And if they win this match, I'm gunning for them, because I'd love to see a home Super Rugby final with the Brumbies and Waratahs, but I just think that the Hurricanes may be a little bit fresher, and that might be the advantage.
Now, interesting, Adam, you mentioned about the South African teams all going ordinary. Why would all of them go ordinary?
Well, it's a very interesting point, Sean. The thing is, it's just the way South Africa works. And I know it's very much in another part of the world, but you sometimes get where the South African teams, say the Bulls and the Sharks, are both gunning for that top spot. You'll get these periods where they're just unbeatable. But this year, the Lions, because no one really expected the Lions to do well, they were knocking off all the teams. They all finished fair and even, where there was no real standout. And look, next year with the Super Rugby competition expanding into Japan, parts of Malaysia, Argentina, it's going to be a real challenge for these sides to travel all over the world. There's no provincial competition quite like this. And we've got these really rich rivalries between Australian teams and New Zealand teams. It's going to take a bit more time to get us up against the South African ones. But the travel is the major factor. And really this year, the Lions getting so many upsets, it just made it sort of really interesting viewing that they all had a pretty average year, if that makes sense.
I can understand that. Well, and we'll be waiting intently as well, because we'll get through the test and then, of course, the World Cup later on this season. Adam, you'll be no doubt looking forward to, as many rugby fans. We'll have a look at the semi-final odds for the Hurricanes against the Brumbies. You've got the Hurricanes at $1.30, the Brumbies at $3.50. In line betting, the Hurricanes are giving away a 7.5-point start, and the margin betting here at the end of normal time, the Hurricanes by 13 or more, the slight favourites at $2.40, and then 1 to 12 at $2.50. You've got the Brumbies 1 to 12 at $4.50, 13 plus at $11, and draw at the end of normal time at $29. So is the $1.30 just a touch too short, Adam, considering that it could be a case of stage fright, that they haven't been in the finals for so long, that all of a sudden being on top, that they've got the pressure against them?
Look, I think $1.30 is fair. I think the market's right. The one thing that I know about the Hurricanes this year is that they have been the number one team on form. Has that taken away that I thought the Waratahs would win it all year? No, but look, I just think this match is poised to be a very even one. And you know what the Brumbies are going to do. They'll give it their all. I think the Hurricanes should win this match. But again, that's 7.5 points in a season that there have been so many tight matches in Super Rugby and so many upsets, especially last week, the way the Brumbies. And the Brumbies don't care about travelling. probably most of them are married, so they enjoy sort of being away from their kids and family, so they could just hang in a hotel room and sleep in. So I really think that this Brumbies side, they won't worry about the travel. Going to Wellington won't really impact them. But don't underestimate, when you're a side that finishes on top of the comp, home ground advantage, that's almost more pressure than a team that's flown from South Africa that wasn't expected to win. Everyone's thinking the same of them this week. They'll love being the underdog. But in saying that, I just think the Highlanders, I think they will be probably too strong. My heart definitely says Brumbies, but the head is saying, sorry, Hurricanes. I think they'll be good. But I don't think they'll do it by the 13-plus. I'll have them at the 1-12.
Yeah, so in the head-to-head betting, probably looking at the two favourites, but definitely the lines of 7.5 start for Brumbies against the Hurricanes and the 5.5 start for the Highlanders against the Waratahs. That's tickling your fancy. In the Super Rugby winner, just your thoughts on this. The Hurricanes are the $1.80 favourites, the Waratahs $3.50, the Highlanders at $6, and the Brumbies at $8.50. Just with anticipating what you think will happen over the weekend, you've been really bullish on the Waratahs all season on the punting club. Even if they had to go to Wellington, they'd have enough to do it?
Oh, I tell you what, if they had to go to Wellington, they'd be a lot shorter than 350. I think it's just whether you want to take that value now. I do think that the Waratahs, they are winning the competition. I don't want to jump ahead of this week because they've still got to knock off the Highlanders. But if they beat the Hurricanes, not just over in the cake tin there in Wellington, they didn't just beat them, they annihilated them. And they really know how to play their rugby against the New Zealand side. So I'm going to stick with the Tars. But look, if it is a Waratahs-Brumbies final, anything can happen. So it is a real tough competition this year. But just in summary, Trent, I really do like both teams at the 1-12. I think I'd go the Waratahs 1-12 into the Hurricanes 1-12, and I think they're probably the two sound bets. And if I had to have one standout, you know, I do think that the Brumbies, for punters out there, with that 7.5, that's really, really a nice line going into a match, which is pretty evenly poised.
Terrific. Good on you, Adam. Good to catch up, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Adam Freer there. Adam Freer joining us with a look at the Super Rugby. Now, race three, and we got two here. This is a maiden hurdle, or a hurdle rather, 2,700. They're loading up, field of five. One, Harry Hill, the favourite, 170, 120.
Certainly ate its chances. Here it is, Harry Hill. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think Harry's going to have it all his own way, but I still think he should win with a 3 kilo claim down to 66 kilos. Yes, Red Magic have to have it in there, and if it goes as good as they say, we'll be right in this. And then it was a toss-up, really. Irish Dude for third in front of Ishi Powell. But I think it's a 1-5 race here, and it all depends. It all depends how good this Red Magic is. And good luck to the team, Danny Crow, Rosie, Rachel Deegan, and yeah, I'm sure Red Magic will give a good account here on Hurdle Debut. Almost set to go for the Mornington Tavern Hurdles. Just a field of five, race number three, 2,700 metres. Favourite Harry Hill. They start over at about the 800 metre mark. Starter times is laid up, ready to go. Gates open, they're off. Even Dispatch pushing through now soon after the start was Irish Dude. Out wider on the track, Red Magic made a good beginning as they come towards the first fence and they all take it as one. Back on the inside, third is Lord Yarborough for Ishi Powell and the favourite. Harry Hill has been eased back to last. So they come around the turn on their first occasion and head out towards about the 2,300 metres mark. And it's Irish Dude and Emily Farr in control. Red Magic on Hurdle Debut pulls his way up on the outside. Third on the inner of these now is Ishi Powell from Lord Yarborough against the rail as they come to the first in the straight. He just tipped the top to the lead up. Back fourth is Ishi Powell and Harry Hill was 2 lengths away. Ridden very patiently early by Rasha Tanin as they come down to the second in the straight. At it, up and over, just got in a bit close again, did Irish Dude, the grey. Leads away by length in advance of Red Magic second. They break away by 3.5 on Ishi Powell. Lord Yarborough, who is also on Hurdle Debut today, it's back and forth, and Harry Hill, the only race winner over jumps in the field, is back last. Over the crossing, they're about to head. 1,700 metres left to run in the Mornington Tavern Hurdles, and the leader remains Irish Dude. A length and a half in advance of Red Magic, still sitting second for Danny Daniel Miller. Third is Ishi Powell. From back on the inside is Lord Yarborough. And Harry Hill still last of the five. Over towards the 1,500 metres mark. And race number three on the card today for the Otago Racing Club's season finale race day. And the leader remains Irish Dude. And the Fates Majeure colours leads by a length only from Red Magic in second. The next fence is about 150 metres away. Two lengths away, third Ishi Powell. On the outside of Lord Yarborough and the pink jacket back and forth, and a length away to Harry Hill, still about five lengths off the leaders. Down to the one at the 1,300. And the two leaders took it as one. The leader on the inside is Irish Dude. A half in advance of Red Magic, the outside, still quite content to sit outside. The leader at the one at the 1,150. Just dipping on landing the shade was Ishi Powell back in third. Harry Hill's got past one. And that is Lord Yarborough. The one at the 1,100 metres over they go. And once again, Lord Yarborough just dropping back a shade here off the first four. The leader is Irish Dude. The one at the 900 metres. Red Magic, ready to pounce on the outside. Ishi Powell is under a hard ride, but still third. So is Harry Hill, two lengths away. It's under a very hard ride by Canine, but is still trying to pick up the bit, and Lord Yarborough is now tailed off. Across the top they come, 700 metres left to run. Red Magic took over now. From Ishi Powell, the outside. Back on the inner is Irish Dude at the one at the 600, and Red Magic still led them over. From Irish Dude, who boots back underneath them, Ishi Powell, and now Harry Hill, responding to the very hard ride, has now pulled out four wide for its run up towards the turn. About 400 metres left to run. The leader is Red Magic. From Harry Hill, who looms large on its outside. Then came Ishi Powell. They beat off Irish Dude. Two to go. Red Magic jumped it in front. From Harry Hill, the outside. Two lengths away, third. Is Ishi Powell. Then came Irish Dude trying to rally. Lord Yarborough takes it at the tail. One to go for Red Magic. Jumped it as good as Harry Hill, the outside, who's now starting to pull out 20. Harry Hill got to the front with 100 left to go. It wasn't without its heart murmurs, Harry Hill, but he's going to get his second hurdle win today. Harry Hill beats out Red Magic. Game and defeat. 10 lengths away, Ishi Powell third. From next an Irish Dude, and Lord Yarborough completes the course.
Number one, Harry Hill, will pay $1.90 and $1.04. Five, Red Magic, $1.60. And no third for two, Ishi Powell, 1.5 and two over the line. The third there at Wingatui, 22 past 10, Sky Sports Radio, with Sean Cosgrove and Trent Langshow from tab.com.au. Glenn Schofield joining us now. He's on his way to Wyong today. Morning, Glenn.
Morning, Sean. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. You're having a terrific run of late. Things are going good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are actually. I've had a quiet time before that, but it's very, very happy to see it sort of picking up and the winners rolling in.
Now the other good thing, Glenn, you're getting rides for top stables.
Yeah, well, that's what you want. The bigger the stables, the more winners they have, the more chance you've got of riding them. So I'll take winners wherever they come from. Very.
Now, Glenn, I you can correct me, I may be totally wrong here, but I reckon I read somewhere a while ago where you were looking after your own rides.
Oh, that was a very short time ago. I just found that I'd sort of lost a little bit of touch. I've now got a manager back doing my rides, so yeah. So it's hard to help being your own riding because it's pretty hard to keep on top of things and try and select and source rides while you're out there doing a job, so... you've got to have someone doing it for you, I suppose.
Yeah, well, it's working well at the moment. Now, you've got a couple of rides today at Wong. A couple have been pulled out. Arrow Valley for Joe Pride in the first.
Yeah, well, he's the type of horse, he always seems to find something just to run him down. And sometimes he looks like he's battling to sort of pick up and hit the line strongly, but I think Joe's changed the gear on him. I think he's got blinkers on today and he's stepping him up in distance. And I think those two things might allow him to be a bit more comfortable in the run and run the race out strongly.
All right, you've got Loophole for Chris Waddle in the third coming back in class today. This ought to help.
I've got Aurora Glow, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, Aurora Glow for Chris Waddle, sorry.
Yeah. Look, obviously that one start was a favourable run. As we know, Chris's horses do get better with racing and, not in the hottest company at the moment. So hopefully he can make a presence felt.
All right, and as mentioned, you've got a Loophole Saturday, Rose Hill. Rather, you've got a nice book on Saturday. Chris Waller, Peter Moody, the David Van Dyke, David Payne. See, there's some handy horses, eh?
Yeah. Look, this time of the year, obviously, we're not blessed with the best racing. That seems to be behind us or in front of us. But of course, there's still racing to be, and there's still, of course, 8 races to win on Saturday, so hopefully I can get my fair share of them.
Now, how toey were you a week ago when Chad was riding at Royal Ascot?
Yeah, look, going over there, obviously to Royal Ascot on its own is a spectacle, but going to watch your son ride added a lot more spice to it. Of course, he was on Criterion for David Hayes, which I'm sure a lot of Aussies were sort of cheering home amongst all the other Aussie runners over the carnival. But it is a fantastic place, and if your listeners out there have never been, I highly recommend it. They try and get to at some stage.
How much sleep did you get the night before, Glenn? Be honest.
I don't know. I was pretty okay. Chad seems to be achieving one thing after another in his short period. So his achievements don't seem to be happening anymore. They seem to be more of a kind of common occurrence. So look, we were obviously excited, my son and it's just to have us as well to share the experience. But look, he's done himself proud, and obviously to get it right, we sent him over there. Obviously, to gain some experience, and obviously he was having a bit of a stop-start affair in Melbourne through one thing. And certainly, the reward that he went over there for, a lot of hard work, something very, very different to what he used to over here, tasting, of course, a different way of doing things and a different way of racing and riding. He's picked up quite a few rides from, of course, some leading trainers over there as well, and had moderate success. He's only had a few winners, a couple of winners, but he's picked up quite a few decent rides this week coming, and hopefully that's on the back of, you know, being given some support at Royal Ascot meet.
Now, one big thrill for him, I imagine, is going back home to South Africa to ride in the, I think it's called the Durban July. Is that a Group 1 race there?
It is. It's our version. It's our biggest race of the year, the race everyone wants to win. So it's highly sought after race at home. He seems to be as excited, if not more excited, about going home to ride than he was getting over to England and possibly riding at Royal Ascot. So he's going home to all his friends that he grew up with at school. They're all obviously now there. They're a little bit older and at university, or they have their own jobs as well. So he's going home to see them and to perform, you know, in front of people that obviously I used to ride for when he was growing up, and he's obviously going to be riding for them as well. So it's a great thrill for him.
Glenn, had he actually ever ridden in South Africa, or was he only young when you came out to Australia? He'd been apprenticed here.
No, he'd never ridden there, but of course he was always at the races with me. Mm. And knew, obviously, all the racing identities over there from a young age. And he's never ridden there, but this will be his first chance to do that.
Has he got any other rides lined up apart from this one?
Yeah, I think he's got 4 rides on the day, 4 or 5. He's got the horse he's riding in the July is actually an Australian-bred horse by Lonro out of, I think, Republic Lass.
Gee.
So he's quite well related. He's a 3-year-old, obviously campaigning against the older horses at handicap level, and he's got, I think he's got 52 or 53 kilos. So he's got a lot to do in the race, and he's drawn the outside barrier of 20. So he's got a lot. He's got a tough task on his hands, but of course, being there in that environment, he's just going to love it.
Well, it's good everything's going well this year. Last year was one of those, like, you'd like to put behind him. I think Geelong, a couple of vertebrae fractured in his neck when he hit the deck there, and it just wasn't one of those years for him, was it?
Well, you know, it was an up and down year. He did receive 2 heavy falls. He broke his neck. He broke his T3 in one of them, and then came back, and shortly after that broke his back and his arms. So, and on top of that, he copped quite a few hefty suspensions. So he's and in between all that, he won a couple, managed to win a couple of Group 1 races. So
yeah.
He did have an up and down year, but this year seems to be, touch wood, devoid of all those stop starts. And as we all know, you need a bit of continuity in racing. And if he can put a bit of that under his belt for a year or two, I'm sure he'll reap the rewards.
Now, I've heard a bit of mail. If you win on Mirage on Saturday for Peter Moody, he'll send you a framed autograph photo from Gallipoli.
I hope it's a rear view, not a front one.
You want the bike rack shot, right?
Right.
All right. Good on you, Glenn. Good to catch up. Good luck today and on Saturday. And pass our best on to Chad as well.
Great. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Glenn. Glenn Schofield joining us there. And he's got a couple of nice rides here today at Wyong, Trent.
Yeah, it's because he's just going through his two mounts that he's got at Wyong this afternoon. The first, which is just under an hour away, Aravali is the $1.90 favourite with Tab Fixed Odds and hoping to break.